Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we're examining every single goddamn page of Awakening, Diablerie, Mexico, a scenario for Vampire the Masquerade, to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is 1992's Awakening, Diablerie, Mexico, the official PDF release from White Wolf. Tonight we're discussing page 30 of Awakening, Diablerie, Mexico, and the plot is thickening. It's about to thicken. It's not thickening yet, but here comes the cornstarch. Last time, Vampire Drama Club went to go meet with Samuel Clearwater, who's supposed to be an expert about all kinds of Mayan stuff. Naturally, when we got to his place, he was dead. Which is more efficient. Pro tip for keeping meetings short. When you're supposed to have a meeting with someone, just die and leave a paper in the room that says what you had to say. We found that piece of paper that told us that the Wanderer's name is Mictlantecuhtli, which allowed us to look up Mictlantecuhtli and find out that in this world of darkness, as opposed to in the real world where all this is bullshit, Mictlantecuhtli was a Mayan god whose worship centered on a lost city called Tzintal in the modern-day Yucatan. So great, at an unknown location in a lost city said to exist somewhere in the Yucatan, there's our guy. Maybe sometime when we got a weekend free to meticulously search the jungles of the Yucatan, we'll give this a shot. But just when it seems like our hard-won lead, the one Samuel What's-His-Name gave his life to deliver to us, maybe, has led us nowhere, a stranger appears in town. He's avoiding everybody. He's not hanging out at the planetarium on laser light show night. He's not, you know, socializing out by the cows with all the other vampires who have the munchies. He's avoiding the Broad Street, but for reasons other than you would normally avoid the Broad Street. But he is coming around the 24th Diocese. It says that he's approaching the protagonist. He's approaching the neonates, which means in our case that he's kind of like hanging around where we hang around. And, you know, Sir Bloodworth is a busy guy. Marcus is always snooping around occult stuff. It might be Marcus who makes initial contact with him, like with his psychic connections in Boulder, like occult bookstores and stuff like that, maybe. But eventually, to feel out the whole group, this stranger is probably going to have to visit the 24th Diocese, which is pretty funny, as you'll see. This is not an easy man to imagine in a goth club. So he hints around with us about the Wanderer, and we've been through this rigmarole before. You know, I'm sure he thinks he's slick, but let me skip ahead a bit to the next page to give you the physical description for this character. Quote, a short, slender man with thinning, sandy hair. Behind thick glasses, his eyes look weak and watery. He appears to be in his mid-30s, so this is a little studious man in thick glasses, looks to be about in his mid-30s, with watery eyes, who comes up to us in the goth club in his little sweater vest, and he's like, pardon me, I was just here to do some goth-style dancing, and I couldn't help but overhear you talking about the Wanderer. Let's talk a little about that. Wow, what a coincidence that we should run into each other like this. I'm interested in the Wanderer, you're interested in the Wanderer. We're both extremely sexy and goth in this club. But anyway, once he has figured out basically what we know, he introduces himself. His name is Schaefer, and he says he's got some info for us. He's very excited to share. Can we maybe meet up sometime? And we're like, hey, don't throw your life away. You seem like a nice guy. You seem like a sweet little nerd, and you need to know our planner is a fucking death note. Don't do it. But he won't be swayed. So he says, I'll meet you tomorrow night. I'm at this little rooming house. It's where I'm staying in Denver. I mean, we're busy, and it's always an inconvenience when we show up at the scene of a homicide. I mean, Columbo lives here. So naturally, Vampire Drama Club wants to know, what are you going to tell us? What do you have for us? Is this important? Schaefer says, I have personal evidence that the Wanderer exists, and I know where he is. So that's irresistible. We gotta make the meeting. Now, the rest of this page is devoted to spoilers, and then we're gonna have dumb vampire tricks tomorrow, and then the next day we're talking about something else. So now's really the moment to talk about Schaefer, whose character sheet appears on the next page. He's introduced on this page, and he is the dumbest thing in this page. I don't need to go deep into it, but basically, there's a type of Malkavian. Johann Veltman is another one. We talked about him from Chicago days ago. Authors in early Vampire don't seem to have known what to do with the Malkavian clan, because all Malkavians have derangements. And so, you know, sometimes that's treated more like, you know, gothic, like madness. Other times it's treated like sort of like a modern medical disorder. It's pathologized. Sometimes they have haha funny quirks, because that's the standard model of mental health used in role-playing games in the 80s and 90s. That's pretty limiting for creating vampire NPCs in some ways. Eventually, I feel like vampire authors got there and figured out some interesting ways to use the clan. But in early days, when an author wanted to introduce a Malkavian who they wanted to do anything, they would give them this non-derangement, so that when you read about the character, it's like, coincidentally and for no reason, this member of the clan of all crazy vampires isn't crazy at all. Like, Johann Veltman, the closest thing he has to a derangement is It's like his vision, like his optimism, his belief that people are good and things will get better. I guess he's a weird visionary filmmaker, but he's not under any kind of curse of madness. He's just a weird, cool guy. And Schaefer, while by no means cool, is in a similar situation. His derangement is intellectualization, which is a real derangement from the first edition core book. It is absolutely debilitating for a player character. What it means is, essentially, you can't spend any experience points on anything but knowledges. So your character is stuck. You're not getting better in any other way but, like, book learning from now till eternity. Quote, Schaefer is a Malkavian and so suffers a major derangement. Fortunately, perhaps, his derangement is intellectualization, which does not prevent him from functioning in night-to-night life. In fact, the derangement is only a slight exaggeration of Schaefer's mortal personality. It isn't even enough to give Schaefer a derangement that is an absolute character killer for a PC, but makes basically no difference for an NPC whose stats are static anyway. But the author also had to emphasize, this character's madness is just, it's a tiny little bit over the top. It's a little bit of an exaggeration of his regular personality. He was embraced into the Malkavian clan, and his mind was shattered, and now his love of books has become a very, very strong love of books. Malkavians like this just upset me. I'm offended on behalf of the rest of the clan. This Malkavian is an author's pet. Malkavians get great disciplines. Early Malkavians with Auspex, Dominate, and Obfuscate, arguably the best discipline spread. They get to be outsiders. They get a clan that doesn't fuck around with them, try to control them in the way that other clans do. The drawback, and also the most interesting thing about the clan, is the weakness. And it does bother me when an author introduces a Malkavian and just sort of like takes away the whole thing. So it does bother me when an author introduces this author's pet Malkavian and is like, this Malkavian is my special boy. And he just doesn't have any real problem with the clan weakness. He's disabled in a fully abled way. You know, that kind of disabled? So that's the dumbest thing in this page. The next page tells us just a little bit more about Schaefer, gives us Schaefer's character sheet, which, by the way, while I'm picking on Schaefer, let me point out, not only does he have kind of a bullshit derangement for an NPC, but the author didn't even follow the rules, because Schaefer was embraced in 1944, but has a dot of streetwise and two dots of repair, as well as two dots of drive, in 1992 Denver, Colorado. He should not have been able to spend experience points on anything that is not a knowledge since 1944, and I have trouble believing that someone who has absorbed no learning other than book learning since 1944 operates with any level of streetwise, everyday repairability, or moderate competence with modern automobiles in 1992. Intellectualization is barely a factor for an NPC, but not knowing how to operate like modern gadgets or like being uncomfortable in modern cars is exactly the sort of tiny little thing where it might make a difference. So you could have at least made a nod to his weakness being a weakness by giving him some deficiencies in those places. But anyway, next page we get the character sheet. We're not going to talk about it though, because it's just that and spoilers. Well, I say spoilers. Information that the player characters don't have. Not that they'll ever necessarily get it. Spoilers for never. So join me next time for another dumb vampire trick before the clue bus rattles on and brings us inexorably closer to Mexico on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the patrons-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that feed and support the show, visit patreon.com/megadumbcast. This season's theme song is Tequila Moonrise by Tequila Moonrise. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.